First Kings chapter 11 this evening. First Kings chapter 11. As Solomon grew old, you would not have liked him. He grew old the wrong way, facing death. He is not happy at all with the way he has lived his life. And what a tragedy that is when you lose your heritage. He was a man with the world at his door, and he slammed it shut. He had the blank check from God, and he wasted it. Perhaps the greatest thing that he left is some wise and godly counsel in his last days. So 1 Kings chapter 11, let's begin reading in verse 41. And the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father. And Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. He reigned for 40 years. He began to reign when he was 25, so he's 65 years old. At this point in his life, he is frustrated and he is guilt-ridden. Two things. One of them is found in the passage. The book of the Acts of Solomon. We know nothing about it. It did not survive. And second of all, to glorify political or physical achievement means nothing. Ecclesiastes is Solomon's summation of life. So go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. In this portion of Scripture, Solomon gives us four pieces of advice. First of all, you are accountable to God for the way you live. You are absolutely accountable to God for the way that you live. Look at verse 9 in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. The Bible says this, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." I want you to understand something, folks. He's being sarcastic here. What he is saying is, oh, young man, just kind of do what you want to do. Reject the advice of your parents. Reject the advice of your pastor. Why do kids think that the path is always changing and that those who have gone before have no idea where they are? But that's what they think. The path never changes. It didn't change for Abraham or me or Miles coming behind me. And then the last part of verse 9 says this, But know thou, and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. At the close of your life, it will be reviewed by God. You're not the master of your own fate. You're not the captain of your own self. Every simple activity brings a harvest, and God will not excuse all the wrong that we do. So first of all, you are accountable to God for the way you live. You. And you're not going to be able to blame it on your mother or your father, your grandpa or grandma. You are accountable to God for how you live. Second of all, set your priorities in life early. Look at chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While you're young, set your priorities. I want to give you four priorities that is proven in this book and that we ought to adopt. First of all, that God be glorified in everything in our life. Go back to chapter 9 in Ecclesiastes just for a moment and look at verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. We need to settle it early in our life that we are going to glorify God with our life. And ladies and gentlemen, we talked about that Sunday. There's a word for that, and it's called worship. When you glorify God, we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Second of all of life is to be viewed from God's perspective, not ours. It is to be viewed by eternity, not time. We can get so caught up with the immediate, and God says, I want you to think about your life in the prospect of eternity, the prospect of 1,000 years from now, where you're going to be and how you're going to be. If you don't, the fallout is your fault and not God's. All of life is to be viewed from God's perspective. Third, what is important to God should be important to you. Let me just give you three or four things that's important to God. First of all, the church is important to God. I'm glad you're here this evening. By you being here, you are saying that. Church is important to me, and I know that it's important to God. It's Christ that died for the church, and He gave Himself for it. And it's Jesus Christ that is building this church. I say it so very often because I'm absolutely convinced of it, that He's the one who has brought our lives together, and my life is so much better because of you. The church is important to God. Your family is important to God. And all of us. Somebody's backing up. How quickly our kids leave home. I mean, it's just so very quickly. And we only have a short time to have them at home. And Tina got word from one of her aunts that one of her boys, and she has 8 kids or 9 or something. Yeah. Oh, it's your cousin. What did I say? Oh, it's one of her cousins. Had a son that was in his 20s that took his life this last week. And boy, it just hurts your heart so deep, because you love your family so much. And for one of them to do that just hurts. Something else that ought to be important to us is this book. This is God's word. This is God's will for us. And for us not to read this book and memorize it and spend time. John R. Rice used to have a saying. He said this: no Bible, no breakfast. If he had not read the Bible, he would not eat. He esteemed the words of God's mouth more than his necessary food. We need to love the Bible and read and spend time in it. And then we need for God's teaching about stewardship of money to be important to us. Certainly you understand that the tithe is holy unto the Lord. It's holy unto the Lord. And then fourth, that my primary and continuing motivation is to please the Lord. My purpose in life is to please Him. We only get one shot at this thing called life. Nobody is so important that He gives us more than one chance. And we need to please Him. We need to serve Him. Third, ladies and gentlemen, and boy, do we know this one. Age works against you and not for you. From Solomon's perspective, he describes mental and physical deterioration in the last part of chapter 12. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened or the clouds return after the rain. Let me tell you what he's talking about there. He's talking about as you get older, you get more confused about things. We all do. That's what this is talking about. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. The clouds returning after the rain. Something's wrong there. After the rain, clouds are gone. We get confused, folks. That's what he's saying. Verse 3. And boy, does he get very specific here. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. What's he talking about? It's the reason I take two pills a day. My hand. It's called familial tremors. And if I don't take these pills, I can't eat real good. I fling peas everywhere. Okay? But that's what it's talking about. And then it says, and the strong men shall bow themselves. The strong man is your back and your legs. You begin to kind of hunker over a little bit. And then this next one's easy to understand. And the grinders cease because they are few. I hope you have a good dentist that can put those crowns in, because that's what it's talking about. Your teeth. And those that look out the windows be darkened. That's it. That's the reason Bob is not here this evening. Bob's had cataracts on both of his eyes taken off, and he had some trouble with the second eye. And so he's not here because he certainly can't drive at nighttime, but has difficult driving in the daytime. Verse 4, and the door shall be shut in the street. From somebody that has had three kidney surgeries. You know what it's talking about? Your old plumbing doesn't work like it used to. And I have a very good urologist, and so I'm not struggling like I did at one time. But that's what it's talking about. The plumbing doesn't work good. And the sound of the grinding is low. That's why you have a remote control, and when you come in sometimes, your wife has that thing set on 37, and I need it on 16. But it's your hearing starts going. And the rest of that is talking about the same thing. And he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and the daughters of music shall be brought low. Verse 5. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high. I worked derricks in the oil field for a while. I was up 90 feet on the board. Didn't bother me. Bothers me now. To get on a ladder and go up on the roof out here. They just completed the roof today. And it's all young guys that's going up and down that ladder. It's just about height. And fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Oh, I want to be careful with this, but let me just put it this way. It's the reason we have Viagra in the world, okay? As you get older, things change. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Verse 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed. The silver cord is your spinal column. You start having problems with that, and it hurts. Or the golden bowl be broken. The golden bowl is your brain, and it doesn't work like it used to. And the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. The pitcher is talking about a heart attack. What a heart attack will do for you. And then the Bible says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. There's people that I have talked with that said, you know what? When I retire, when I get older, I'm really going to get involved. Let me tell you something about that. No, you won't. Age works against us, folks. That's what Solomon is saying. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Set priorities, because age works against us. And then last of all, of course, death is inevitable. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Dust, from dust thou wast created, and to dust thou shalt return. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And then verse 8, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. You know what he's saying there? I wish I'd have done it differently. I don't want to die this way, but he did. Live in such a way that no matter what happens, that you can say, it is well with my soul. When Solomon died, you know what he left? After all that God had done for him, he left a rebel son. It's incredible. His son did just exactly like his daddy. And I know what we think. My kids will learn from my mistakes. Generally not. Your kids will follow your mistakes. Let me give you three things about Rehoboam, his son, that was just like his daddy. First of all, he refused to take advice. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 10. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. I was reviewing the message on the way over here, and Tina said, boy, this is really going to be a great message for us. I said, well, yeah, do you have any cheerful things? 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 6. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. Did he listen Did he take their counsel? Look at verse 8. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, that stood before him. And it was the wrong thing to do. He refused to take good advice. Second of all, he rebelled and tried to escape his responsibilities, just like his father. And third, he led his nation into rebellion, just like his daddy. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, your first responsibility is to God. I want you to go with me to the last two verses in Ecclesiastes. Last two verses in Ecclesiastes. I mean, after he writes this really depressing book, here's how he ends it. And this is good advice for each one of us. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's the deal, is what he's saying. This is how you should live. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know what is so sad is that Solomon wasted his life of all that he could have been. Let's not make that mistake. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how clear it is, how simple it is. And dear Father, life gets very complicated when we refuse to obey your commandments. We create for ourselves such difficulty. So Father, please forgive us. Help us to humble ourselves before you and keep your commandments and love you and worship you. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.